always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
But the Lakers have always maintained very steady confidence in their chances with Giannis. They have thought that if Milwaukee wants to dive right into a rebuild, that the Lakers give them their best pathway to doing so quickly. You know, with the financial flexibility and with the picks that the Lakers could send over. But like if the wrong team gets involved there, you know, like we saw it with Kawhi, right? Where Toronto basically said, you know, they looked at their roster and they were like, we're going to be in purgatory. Let's get off a couple of these, albeit popular, but still like not great contracts. And bring in Kawhi and make one big run at it. You know, at trying to win a championship. They win that championship, although everybody always talks about like the asterisk that should be on the bubble. I think Kawhi's championship in Toronto is significantly more questionable than the 2019-2020 championship, but either way. But they win that championship, and even when Kawhi like pieces out, they were kind of like, we went into this with clear eyes. We got what we wanted from it. Best of luck, Kawhi and in LA and all that stuff. Now there have been some sour grapes from Toronto side as they have found out some of the illegalities that the Clippers undertook in signing Kawhi, let alone keeping Kawhi afterward. But still, like, some team might look at that Toronto situation and say, look, we have enough of these bad contracts that, you know, might be expiring or maybe have like an extra year on them. Maybe we send them to a cap space team. We bring in Kawhi or we bring in Giannis. We give it a go. And if he at the end of this year says, I'm not, you know, sticking around, or if when he gets to, you know, to our city and we offer him the extension that he could potentially sign and he says, nope, not signing it. Then, you know, you gave it the good old college try and you reset after Giannis leaves. And I think, you know, one of those dark horse teams that we haven't heard anything about right now, they're going to start popping up because of where they have already, I guess, started popping up because of where the perceived price currently sits. And until that perceived price goes up a little bit, I think the Lakers are going to feel like they have a pretty damn good shot at it with Giannis. Now, are they banking on Giannis to save their entire offseason? No, I think they have several plans in place, but I think Giannis is pretty high up on those, you know, theoretical plans. Brian Reyes writes, how would you rebuild this Lakers team to beat OKC and or the Spurs? Well, it would, I guess, have to start with a very honest conversation about Austin. And I thought that Austin in that OKC series was getting better over the course of that series, was kind of figuring out the pace that he needed to play and the parts on the court that he needed to take advantage of. And because of that, makes me think that like eventually he could at least compete in that series. Now, can he be your second best player in that series? I don't think so. I think you probably need, you know, if Luka is your 1A, you probably need a 1B, and then Austin either slides down to 1C or 2 or however you want to number those things. And if Austin is your 1C, can your 1C be making $35 to $40+ million a year? That gets kind of tricky. And so like that's kind of honestly like the most unfortunate aspect of this season, in my opinion, was that you had a postseason that you know, didn't feature any of Luka or Austin. We didn't get any answers on that tandem. And because of that, you basically have to hope that you get those answers this season, but you're getting those answers after you've paid Austin, which if you get good answers, right, if we find out that those guys can actually play together, then maybe you, you know, you might even have Austin at a discount moving forward. But if you get negative answers on, you know, like if that, if those answers come to on the negative side of things where the, it looks like those guys aren't athletic enough to compete, then you're saying, shit, well, I sure hope somebody wants to trade for him. And we can get enough to bring in that, that 1A or 1B, or that we have enough left over to bring in that 1A or that 1B player now this summer. And you kind of go from there. So I would start with that very honest conversation about Austin. And then I would start with the center spot. Like after making that decision on Austin, I would really focus on the center spot. You need a guy who can anchor your defense. You need a guy who runs the court. You need a guy who is athletic enough to go out there and stay with Wemby if he chooses to operate on the perimeter. And you also need that player to be able to go in and bump and grind, not that way, but okay. But like play physically with whoever the other team's center might be. And also get up over the rim and finish some lobs from Luka and or Austin. So that's honestly like why I'm really in on the Giannis thing, because he can do all of those things. And now it would be smaller windows when he's playing center and stuff, but like he is like maybe the only player in the NBA equipped with all of those, you know, boxes checked in the NBA. And that makes him very intriguing to me for that matchup specifically. And then after the center spot, then you gotta like, I really think a critical part of this in, you know, catching or beating OKC or San Antonio is improving your college scouting department so that you're not getting nothing from two straight first round picks in the way that the Lakers did. But you also need to like those prospects that you have a better idea on. You need like the Lakers. I think the aspect of the Lakers organization that is the most frustrating to me is the way that they approach player development, meaning not the results. Like the results, like, you know, they would take care of themselves if the Lakers improve their process. But the Lakers, in an effort to, like, they say that they handle things this way because they want guys to be self-motivated. And if you don't understand, you know, the honor or the privilege that it is to be a Laker, then you never were going to get it in the first place. And it's like, okay, but that kind of lets yourself off the hook, you know? And like I talked earlier about how the Lakers, you know, the word out there is that the Lakers have been lowballing candidates, right? And the Lakers thinking over the years with assistant coaches, with, you know, front office personnel, with scouts and all this stuff, with basically anybody there. Cause even like their social media people are paid less than you would expect the, you know, social media people, you know, and you know, of an organization like the Lakers would be paid. The Lakers basically say that like, look, the money is the money, but the honor is working for the Lakers. Getting your, you know, your biweekly paycheck or however frequently you get paid, and seeing Lakers as, you know, the emblem on that check, signed by Jeannie Buss or whatever. Like, I guess nobody gets checks that way anymore. But you get what I'm saying. That the Lakers basically have been saying, if you aren't willing to take less for the honor of working for the Lakers, then we don't want you in terms of like personnel. And it just doesn't work that way with that kind of personnel. Everybody out there nowadays, like, shit, you guys see what like the inflation looks like across the economy nowadays. It's brutal out there, you know? And like, I just got a fucking oil change, new tire, and realignment done. It was $630. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not taking any fucking local discounts anytime soon if prices on everything are that high. You know, good luck getting out of a grocery store for anything less than like $120, and that's probably a cheap trip to the fucking grocery store. And so, like, and that's like LA prices are that on steroids. And so, like, over the years, the Lakers have just not employed all of the best people or enough of the best people because of the way that they look. You know, they're kind of like worldview on this front, and that extends to their approach to developing players, where they're like, no, we're not going to employ a shooting coach. No, like our player development team is going to be, or yes, our player development team is going to be like thinner than everybody else's player development team. And if you aren't willing to put in the work to be a Laker or a good Laker, then you're going to, you know, flunk out. You're going to be out on, you know, you're going to be gone from this Lakers organization, and good luck to you on the other end. And I just don't think that that's a wise way to look at your prospects, right? Like, I think that the Lakers and the Dodgers are great with this. The Lakers need to take a very hands-on approach to developing players, not just to make them the best, like generic or general overall players that they could possibly be, but also to like stress which skill sets are critical to fitting in with the culture of the Los Angeles Lakers. Look across OKC's team, and it's like, if you don't work your actual ass off defensively, you just don't play, right? Like, and if you, and like, you know, same goes for San Antonio, same goes for New York, same goes for Boston. Like, all of these best cultures across the NBA, they stress to young players as soon as they get there, you're going to play like this, and if you don't, you're going to be gone. And if you don't, and but we are also going to be here to build you up so that you are ready to play that way. And I think that's a critical next step that all of those organizations are taking, and that the Lakers just historically haven't. And that's something that the Lakers, I think, you know, as we get further and further into Mark Walters' time as owner of the Lakers, their player development staff needs to significantly improve. And I'm not just talking about like the people who they have in those roles right now, but they need to hire more people across more roles and take themselves a lot more seriously and stop patting themselves on the back whenever somebody, you know, happens to pan out because they just happen to put in the work on their own. You need to be there to walk people through the type of basketball that you expect everybody to play. And if you don't, then you're going to continue like this notion of like catching up to, let alone beating OKC or San Antonio. Like, that's just, it's just never going to happen if the Lakers don't take themselves a lot more seriously as it pertains to player development. And then M Strom 28, priority one this offseason, LeBron, free agents, or other. LeBron isn't priority one. Sorry, LeBron. It's weird to say this, but he is like the way that the Lakers, I've heard, you know, in kind of talking to people close to the team and around the league, the way that they're basically approaching this summer is, look, we're going to build the best roster we possibly can. At some point, you know, we know that LeBron and his team are going to be paying close attention to what we do, to what Cleveland does, to what Golden State does. And then based on the efficacy with which we build that roster, we go back to LeBron at the end of it and say, do you want to be a part of this? If you do, this is the number that we can offer you. while also building this kind of roster. And so that makes him not like a back end priority type player, but like the Lakers priority, like, you know, right at the onset of the summer is, and basically throughout the summer is, we have to build the best team around Luka that we possibly can. We need to do that while also probably keeping Austin, because A, it makes a lot of sense. Austin's a good basketball player. And B, because Luka has specifically told them, yeah, I want Austin there. Like, I want Austin to remain a Laker. And so now you navigate that. And so I would say probably, like, I think they will send some feelers out there legally, obviously, to see what the likelihood or like what the impact of an offer to, you know, Walker Kessler or Peyton Watson would have. I think that would be the very first thing that they do, is just see what that would do, like what impact that would have on those teams, you know, summers. And once they get some kind of an answer there, they either make that offer if they think that they could get that player, or that another player would shake free by way of them making that offer, or they move on and they kind of look out across the league. I know that they have a lot of eggs in the basket of either trading for Giannis or being involved in a Giannis trade and you know, helping facilitate it, and, you know, getting a good player on even a somewhat cumbersome contract who they could, you know, inject into their talent pool while also maybe netting a pick or something like that. I know that they really want to turn Vando's contract with a pick into a player who is more closely aligned with JJ Redick's vision. That's something that they're going to be really looking to do as well. And then from there, depending on how well they answer all of those other questions, they go back to LeBron and say, what do you think? And, you know, I think there's a good chance that LeBron is back on the Lakers next year. But I think it's going to have a lot to do, and it's going to be highly predicated on how successful the Lakers offseason was before they have that conversation with LeBron. All right, you guys can kind of hear it in my voice. I will go up one more time and see what the see if we have any more questions. we did get one more question. It is from Bolt Show Blue. Why is Rob Pelinka still employed? Simple answer to that question is Jeannie is like, you know, she is just the ultimate Rob Pelinka champion. And she has made it crystal clear that while she is in charge of the Lakers, Rob Pelinka is going to be their lead basketball decision maker. And then, you know, like, fair answer. And to be fair to Rob, he's won a championship. He's made a Western Conference Finals. He has acquired He has acquired Anthony Davis. He has acquired Luka Doncic. And the Lakers want to, you know, he has been promising, whether it be Jeannie Buss, whether it be Mark Walter, but he has been telling everybody this is the summer that he, you know, that all of his kind of plans and plots can come to fruition, and they trust him. So we'll see to what extent that all, you know, lives up to his promises. But I do know that, like, you know, unfortunately, as I kind of talked about at the end of Thursday's show, there, you know, there were those whispers that eventually were confirmed into actual reports that the Lakers were undergoing mass layoffs, and talking to people who either were or were not laid off. You know, the sense there is that there is this grand undertaking of moving from a Buss family organization or a Jeannie Buss organization and becoming a Mark Walter organization. A lot of people who, even if they remain there, are still kind of looking around the league and whether looking around the league or looking around other industries. But I don't think there are a ton of people there who feel absolutely comfortable in their positions in the organization. And I think to a certain extent that lights a fire under people's butts to prove that they should remain there. But it also is not the healthiest, situation to exist in. So we'll see, how that plays out for everybody individually and then the Lakers collectively. But Rob is, I think he has this summer. I don't think if this summer doesn't go well that they would like fire him at the end of the summer, but I think he has like 2 or 3 years max as, lead decision maker of the Lakers. All right. That I think is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. We have NBA Finals games to talk about this week. So we'll kind of immerse ourselves in that. We have a player review series that's going to kick off tomorrow. I'm going to review, each player kind of individually or portions of the roster collectively. And then, members of the front office and coaching staff and all that good stuff, as part of the series. And that will wrap basically as we get ready for the off season and all the hustle and bustle that comes from there. So make sure you guys are subscribed. Please hit that like button here on this show or on this episode. Go back, find old episodes, hit the like button for those too. Why not? And have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow.